It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight when Patty takes over. Patty Vasquez, pretty late with Patty Vasquez. A little programming note, Pete Zimmerman and I are pulling double duty. We are going to be in tomorrow night for Amy Guth's show, 7 to 9. And Amy's been doing a great show. She's kind of started it maybe like a month and a half ago, maybe. And she's in South Africa. And they asked us to sit in, so we're going to sit in, which is great. And we're going to do the topic tomorrow night, should I stay or should I go? It's a great, easy topic about artists in Chicago and whether or not they should stay in Chicago or head for the coast for the money. I'd head for the coast for the money. You know me. I mean, that's just me, right? We got some great people in studio, though. Beth Malewski, who is from Second City. Who else is going to? Rhymefest will be here. Psalm 1, another hip-hop artist, will be here. Kate James from Schadenfreude, who is leaving next week for Los Angeles. So we will have a great conversation about what it takes to leave and come back to Chicago. That's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. All right, right now, Monica Ang and Louisa Chu just launched their first episode of the new podcast, Chewing. The duo has worked together before. Louisa Chu is a food writer for the Chicago Tribune, and Monica Ang is a food and health reporter for Chicago Public Media. The podcast is about dieting trends. I mean, this episode, especially paleo, right? Mm-hmm. This is what I got interested in. What happens when the man who introduced the diet comes out against it? And is anyone even listening? And that's what we're going to talk about, among other things, this hour. Two of my favorite people in the world, Monica, Louisa. Aww. Great to see you.
So great to see Thanks, you, Justin.
You guys are back at it. I said in the intro here, first episode, but you just told me right before we started that you're dropping another
just
one.
Just a few hours ago, we
exactly.
dropped another one.
Fresh.
About eggs. Fresh
we just
eggs.
Laid that episode down on you, Justin.
And we're cracking up all over the place.
All right, so here we go. So why don't we do this? We'll talk diet stuff from the first one. Yeah. We'll talk about how Louisa, we got to catch up because it's been a while. We'll talk about your
revelation?
What do you call it? You're vegan, but you're
PVPO.
You let the listeners figure out what that
exactly.
means.
And we'll catch up to that. Then let's talk eggs.
Yeah.
And then we'll see where we're at.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start this first episode. I mean, before we start with any of the topics, talk about the podcast. What's the goal of Chewing?
Well, you know, before we had this podcast, we had one called Chewing the Fat. Well, we've lost the fat. We've left right. the yeah. other organization that we were doing that podcast with. And now we're just Chewing. Right. Lose with Chew, Monica Ang, Chewing.
Oh, Chewing.
Exactly. You didn't get that,
no,
man?
Of course I got that. Yeah, okay. What are you talking about?
So
now we're Chewing.
For that too.
And we're really going to be including a lot more health in it. So it's both a food and health podcast. And so for our debut episode, we really wanted to like make some big revelatory announcements about food and health.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we should back up and explain for people who don't know what paleo is, because not everybody knows what paleo is. Not everyone's a health nerd like Monica is, you know? So paleo
or just a nerd
is,
like Louisa
right.
is.
So paleo is, would you like to explain?
It's a diet and actually a lifestyle that bases its principles on the hunter-gatherer lifestyle, the idea that before we became an agrarian society, we were hunters and gatherers for a thousand or more years. And so our body hasn't quite caught up to all this grain and all this dairy that came into our lives once we became an agrarian society, and that we would be much better off and have less inflammation, and inflammation leads to all of our chronic diseases, if we would just go back to
the processed foods and the things we eat now. It's such a minuscule amount of time in the
exactly.
history of man, right?
Yeah, it's a blink of an eye.
Right. So really the way that the human body has sort of accepted food has been in a more paleo style.
Right. We evolved to digest the foods of our hunter-gatherer ancestors. That's the theory.
Yeah, but Justin, actually, so this is the so-called caveman diet. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even just the processed foods they attack. I mean, in that whole long list of the so-called caveman diet, I mean, they're not even into stuff like dairy and grains. I mean, that's how hardcore they are about it. I mean, for a long time, basically, this caveman diet was eat meat. And so Monica had gone to
but
this.
But lots of veg, too.
Well,
you know? But it is characterized. Everybody thinks of it as like.
Is that what it is? I mean, what is the paleo? I mean, because it's one thing to say, okay, this has been around for, you know, from the beginning of time. But
allegedly.
It came back in the last couple of years, right? I mean, it's like I'm saying, like, in the last 2 years, it became like the fad diet. I mean, this is the diet that everyone's like, the Atkins and the South Beach are, is that's out.
Right.
And it's paleo, right?
Everybody's paleo. And with it, it's CrossFit. You see all these CrossFit gyms popping up everywhere. That's part of the paleo lifestyle.
You lift weights while you have meat in your mouth.
Exactly. Right. You just, you carry brontosaurus steaks in your mouth while running at
the
top speed.
The Flintstones diet, right?
Yes, it's become incredibly popular. And so when I talk to friends who, you know, and I know many of them who've had miraculous health reversals when they've gone on this, you know, acne's disappeared, migraines have disappeared, their weight's gone down, their energy is up. When I tell them, hey, you know, I talked to the guy who came up with this idea 35 years ago, and he says, cool it on the meat. They're like, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that.
So that's what's happening here, is that the man who's behind the actual paleo diet, who is like bringing back this resurgence, it's renaissance.
Yeah. This guy was like the godfather of paleo back in the day. And so now he's like in his 80s and he's saying, well, you know what? Actually, hold on a little bit here.
1 second. Let me pump the brakes. Exactly. He's actually saying that the diet is unsustainable.
Mm-hmm. He is. His name's Boyd Eaton, Dr. Boyd Eaton. He wrote The Paleolithic Principle in 85, I want to say, in a big splashy article for the New England Journal of Medicine that originally presented this idea. And now he said, sometimes you have to think about more than just your health. I still think that animal products, that animal protein is the way to the best health. But now we need to start thinking about more than just me, me, me. We have to start thinking about the planet. And the fact is, meat is really hard on the planet. It requires a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I was at this conference and everybody had the same slide was, if you're a vegetarian, okay, I'm opening my fingers like half a centimeter. This is your carbon footprint. If you eat chicken, a little bit more. If you eat pork, you know, about twice that much. If you eat beef, about 15 times that much. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh boy,
it's because because of the way that it's processed in the world we live in now, where it takes a lot to actually have
a lot of grain, a lot of water,
a
lot of transportation.
And that kind of stuff. Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
We should back up a little bit also, because all these anecdotal. I mean, these people who tell Monica, yeah, going paleo makes me feel so much better. We have to back up because, as people know, once people start paying attention to their diet, there's often that association with perhaps better health that had absolutely nothing to do with going paleo. But
you have to single out factors. But the fact is,
so
they get
many.
Rid of processed food.
Yeah.
And then also, there is so much evidence for people who are really high-level elite athletes who are vegan, for example. So as we keep always going back to, I mean, people, we always say it's up to an individual diet. I mean, there's these general guidelines. Paleo might work better for some person than another, mm-hmm. especially at a different point in their lives. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, yeah, this is the ideal diet, as a lot of fanatics, Monica, would like to say they are.
Chicago Tribune food writer Louisa Chu, Chicago Public Media's food and health reporter Monica Ang, the podcast is called Chewing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Chewing, even though my
I like Chewing. Right. That's what I'm going to say. Chewing. From Chewing.
Right.
You get the podcast. When we come back, let's talk about your crossover to vegan. Just we leave here, a great quote here from 630. Say, paleo. The paleo guy seems recanting, and it seems to be no different from the man who created the K-cup hating himself for the waste it creates. It's the same kind of concept that some of the things that we've all said, oh, this is great for us. And then they're like, you've made it messed up on one little part.
Right.
Anyway, so we'll talk more with Monica and Louisa when we come back here on The Download. Stay with us.
I'm going to be around my vegetables. I'm going to chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
It's Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Louisa Chu, Monica Ang, Chu Wang.
the fabulous podcast that you will want to subscribe to.
Where do you
now.
Get it? Just iTunes?
iTunes. Just go on iTunes, type in Chewing, and press subscribe 100 times for all your friends.
Right, yeah. And
that's not how it works, but that's right? Okay. Well, good. Good work. So we're talking about the podcast and the topics that you guys are taking on. We talked about the paleo diet, which is a big concern about the waste that it creates. But let's talk about the second part of that was about you going vegan, Louisa.
Well, it's actually what I like to call PVPO.
Okay, so explain this.
Which is personally vegan and professionally omnivorous. So
that's right, because you have a job.
Exactly.
You can't say, yeah, I'm vegan. I can't eat this pork chop.
Exactly. I told my partner, who is one of Louisa's bosses, that she's gone vegan. And he was not happy to hear that the new food writer that he'd hired just went vegan.
Oh, should be so ecstatic, actually, because, you know, I mean, so of course, I literally just started upstairs at the Trip like last week. But, you know, when I'm left to my own devices, I do like to eat vegan. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I spent much of last year in a remote one-room cabin in Alaska where I was almost food myself.
I don't think I've seen you since you did this.
Yeah.
So
no.
I mean, I remember you saying, I'm going to Alaska. It's right. Like, okay, we'll see you. Okay. And then I followed you on Facebook, and I'm like, there's a lot of awesome shots of the environment there. And
yep.
The beautiful. Yeah. But tell me what it was like.
It was very wild. I mean, there was one photo which actually went viral where I took a bear selfie, but it was a safe selfie. I was in Katmai, which is where you see those photos of the bears grabbing salmon out of the stream, Brooks Reserve. But it's a place where you realize that you are part of the food chain. I mean, I was there with my dog, the late great Kiba, and when we walked, I mean, you had to be careful about not walking one way because bears were around and they were getting ready to hibernate. And then I also had a chance to help fillet 140-pound halibut on the beach.
I've got its head in my car right now, and it's 25 pounds itself.
Yeah,
I swear, in the Peruvian parking lot.
You're not kidding either.
No,
there's the halibut's head is in your car.
It was finally kicked out of the refrigerator at my place.
I needed space. Yeah. So, but it's a place where you, like I was saying, you really understand. I mean, very seriously, you are part of the food chain, and so it made me think a lot about the randomness about, you know, what animal lives and what animal dies, and that I could be part of that. And so, I mean, there's so many great things to eat in this world. I mean, like, why eat the same crappy burger? I mean, there's so many amazing things. And so I felt like since I had a chance to do that and really had a chance to eat wild meat, and trust me, I still do love eating meat. I mean, fried chicken skin is one of my favorite things in the world.
But only when you're working, right?
Exactly. I always crave it.
She's
always asking,
can I have the meat assignment? Right. Can I write the story about chicken skin, please? Right.
But I think that's one of those dilemmas that we as thinking human beings can have. I can have those cravings. I can want the pork cracklings. I mean,
how do you do that? How do you make a determination to go vegan and be able to handle the fact that you pretty much have to withdraw off of things that you were so used to in your diet?
But delicious cheese.
Right. But actually, you don't necessarily have to, because it helps you rethink a lot of other things. I mean, again, I mean, it helped me really explore the wonderful world of mushrooms even more, and seaweed. I mean, those are foods that are highly sustainable, so varied that I don't miss just grabbing like the same, like I said, like deli sandwich, for example. I mean,
I'm a little bit ignorant on it. What can't I eat if I'm vegan?
For people who are very strict about being vegan, I'm not necessarily so strict about it. It's no animal products and Monica Snickers.
I'm not so strict, yeah, because I eat meat for my job.
Personally, I am vegan.
This is not a good person to have right. Supporting your newfound diet.
Oh, I'm used to it.
Some vegans won't even wear wool or eat any honey.
So it's essentially about killing animals.
Not just killing animals, exploiting any animals.
Exactly, because we explore this in our episode that just dropped today. But I mean, also, some people are really strict about it, won't use, for example, sugar because there's bone char that is used in processing sugar. I mean, so for me, it is really not eating animal products, meat, eggs, dairy, and my personal life. And no snickering.
Such baloney.
I mean, but a lot of it is because there is in industrial food production so many ethical questions that I'm not comfortable being a part of those because we don't have the good answers for that. I understand that it is a difficult, complicated issue, but I think it's something that's certainly worth us thinking about rather than just dismissing it and just being like, oh, well, yeah, you know, we should just totally be all up for chick shredding, for example. I mean, and that is something we should dismiss.
What about you? I mean, what's your usual diet? Are you just pretty much eat everything that's in front of you?
I I eat as little meat as I can. I'll use it to flavor food. I'll use some pork or some lard to flavor my beans. I really try to keep it very minimal. Try to get stuff that's like super highly flavored. There's this one Thai northern style sausage where you can eat like one little quarter size of it and it's got so much flavor it knocks your brain off. I mean, so I really try to shoot for that. I was very affected by those slides. And it's interesting because I've spent so many years as a reporter at the Tribune and then a reporter where I am now, trying to force myself to kill animals and force myself to look at the animals that I'm going to eat being killed so as to say, okay, Monica, really? Do you like this? You still want to do this? And it's so interesting to me that it's the environmental factor that really threw me and said, hold on, Monica, your kids aren't going to have, you know, quite the same earth you had if this keeps up. And that's what I think has pushed me more. But have I given it up altogether? No. Have I reduced it a lot? Yes.
All right, let's take a break. We got to get to the news. Luisa Chu, Monica Ang, the podcast Chewing.
Yes.
I don't know why I love that so much.
Every time.
Chewing is on iTunes. You can check it out. We'll take a break. We'll hit the news. We come back. Let's talk. Continue the conversation, but let's talk about eggs. Because that's a big part of the second episode you guys have. And then also, Monica, you did some work for this where you went to all the different people and the different diets to find out the ideal breakfast.
Yes, we're going to reveal.
Chewing here on The Download. Stay with us. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? It's a download here on WGN. Eggs.
Beastie Boys. Eggman.
Eggman.
I did not know that.
Eggs. That's what we're talking about here with Luisa Chu, the food writer for the Chicago Tribune, and Monica Ang, who's a food and health reporter for Chicago Public Media. Their podcast, Chewing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I like Chewang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. is on iTunes. The second episode dropped tonight.
Yes.
So you can go find that on iTunes. We're talking about the topics that are in the podcast. We talked about paleo diets. We talked about going vegan. Just to pick up on that, 630 says, I can live without meat, and I'm looking forward to playing with eggplant and zucchini, but hard to give up cold turkey. What are your thoughts?
He doesn't want to stop eating cold turkey?
No.
Right. Hard to give up.
No. There's a big trend called reducetarianism, and that's any attempt to reduce the meat in your life. And they believe that really anybody who reduces a little is doing something for the planet. So don't beat yourself up if you haven't gone cold turkey. Any reduction is good for the planet.
So to speak. And I'd say that's a chance to really, like, go crazy and have things like avocado, you know? Like, I mean, those are in, like, I mean, all sorts of, like, really beautiful, luscious oils, like chili oils or, like, olive oils. I mean, just, like, go at the fat. I mean, don't go and just, like, oh, my gosh, I've got to eat, like, a carrot. I mean, you know, hello, deep fried breaded zucchini. Yeah, that can be vegan. Right. I mean, so, you know, there's lots of wonderful, delicious, creative things that you can have that don't have to have meat. Much less cold turkey.
All right, let's talk about eggs. Before we get to the eggs and the talk of eggs that are in this week's podcast, let's talk also about breakfast. Eggs and breakfast kind of go together to kind of make that bridge from talking about
there
the different
go.
Diets to the next conversation about eggs. Let's talk about what you discovered, a little bit of research.
So in our coming out episode, the one where we talk about Louisa's going PVPO, I have this wonderful montage. I was at this conference where all the world's top nutrition experts were there. They all
Where is this conference? What is this?
It's called the Old Ways Finding Common Ground Conference. And, you know, those who are nutrition experts are really frustrated by people who say, oh, what is it going to be this week? This is good for me. This is bad for me. And they were like, no, there is some consensus. So they wanted all of these world experts to come together over a weekend. We're all locked in a Boston airport hotel, and they have to come up with some consensus. And so there were a lot of fights behind the scenes. And so the first night cocktail party, I'm there, all of like the kings of and they're all men pretty much, of nutrition science are there. So I go up to them with my phone and my recorder, and I say, hi, tell me your name, your affiliation, and the perfect breakfast. And so I have this montage. And obviously the vegan advocates were like, oh, soy milk with some oat bran. And others, most of them, frankly, said Greek yogurt, fresh berries, and granola or nuts.
Really?
I mean, if you've had a Venn diagram, that would be in the middle. And then you had some people who said, I love two delicious eggs and some pastured bacon.
Where well, did Cinnamon Toast Crunch
That was not there, Justin.
Okay, all right. Okay.
But cinnamon, I mean, you know, go crazy with...
Cinnamon challenge, though.
No. No, definitely not Cinnamon Challenge. No. Yeah. And actually, we should point out, too, is that the person who did say that he loved eggs and bacon was Barry Estabrook, who is the amazing food writer who wrote for Gourmet Magazine. And actually, I had a chance to travel up to Alaska with him last summer during the salmon harvest, which is the world's biggest sustainable salmon harvest in the world. And so... We definitely ate a lot of bacon and eggs.
And eggs didn't show up. Eggs only...
Right, he was the only one who said it, because he's not a food scientist. He's a food writer like we are. He wrote this wonderful book called A Pig's Tale and Tomato Land. He looks at policy a lot, but he likes to enjoy himself.
Right, so let's talk... What about eggs are you guys talking about in episode two?
Yeah, so last... this last episode, one of the things that I learned when Mark Caro... wrote the book.
Chicago Tribune writer.
That's right. The Foie Gras Wars.
Former.
I asked him about, you know, like, my gosh, when you write a book like that about, like, the force feeding of geese or duck, what was, like, the most horrific thing that he learned about when it came to, you know, animal food production?
That would be your question.
Yeah. And so, and I was surprised when he said eggs. I was like, really? And this was a few years ago. And I... for some reason, like a lot of people didn't realize that with like these beautiful eggs that we get mm-hmm. in the grocery store, even the organic pastured eggs, that what happens is that the baby boy chicks get shredded live.
What do you mean? What?
So for layer chickens are a certain
so layer
type
chickens
of chicken.
Are where most of the eggs come from.
Right. You have to have a layer. Yeah. And so some girl layers are born and some boy layers are born. And guess what boys can't do?
They can't
lay eggs. So as soon as they realize they're boys, they basically go in a blender alive.
And I was like,
basic,
what?
What? Yeah.
I didn't know. And for some reason, I couldn't believe that. I always thought, like, I think like a lot of people thought, is that they get raised older and those are like the frying chickens. But no. And so I think that that's a really difficult ethical question that we have to think about. We should think about.
If it's a byproduct of the egg industry business, can we support that business?
Yeah. And I mean, and so that happens again.
What else are we going to do? I mean, it's not like there's an alternative, is there?
Perhaps.
Well, you could find a farm that wants to raise all of these boys and then eat them later. But there's a German scientist who is working to do egg sexing early to find out.
I was going to ask that.
And mm-hmm.
It works for the Beverly Hills celebrities. It can't work for chickens.
I didn't know.
And so they know about 3 days on, and then they can turn those into omelets before they become cute little boy chicks.
Yeah.
Is that better? Yeah, probably a little bit.
Possibly. Yeah. So, you know, again, so we do. I think it's just something that we should consider. Chick shredding, egg sexing. Is that worth having what I admittedly crave? Who doesn't love like a beautiful runny yolk fried egg? I mean, and especially with Easter coming up, who doesn't love a wonderful egg salad? I mean, with that nice rich mayo, which I don't know that a lot of people know that like there's eggs in mayonnaise. We also talked to then for this current episode, actually one of our chef friends from Chicago who was at
Moto chef.
Yeah. Ben Roche, who is now actually the R&D chef at Hampton Creek, which a lot of people may know is the makers of Just Mayo. They make a lot more than just mayo. They make a whole bunch of stuff. Things like cake mixes coming up. Mm-hmm. So it's like you got a lot of stuff. So
without eggs. The whole point is they're making all these products that used to have eggs without eggs.
Are they doing that because of allergies, because of sustainability? Why are they making?
All of the above.
Okay.
Yeah. All of the above. They think that the egg industry is just too hard on the earth and too hard on the boy chicks. So let's try to duplicate this or replicate it without the eggs.
Because does it matter that we have real eggs in something like a cake mix or not?
Right.
For most people, it doesn't matter. And if it tastes just as good...
I'm interested to see how they taste and what they actually use.
I mean, it's all going to be taste, right? If you can make a cake mix without it, at the exact same taste without an egg, no one's going to care.
Exactly. And we have tried the Just Mayo, and we've tried the cookie dough.
The Just Mayo's good, yeah.
Yeah, and they taste exactly and
just as good. We also talked to a guy from the Humane Society of America, Josh Balk, about the strides they've made. They got IHOP, they got McDonald's, they got Bob Evans to all start using cage-free eggs. Is that a perfect system? No, but at least they can flap their wings, scratch their little scratcher.
Again, back to the ethics of it, that the caged egg, which is probably the most popular seller in grocery stores.
It's cheap. It's $1.49 one.
It is inhumane in the worst possible way.
A lot of people believe so.
Yeah.
Right. And again, I will admit that a lot of times I will crave a late night Egg McMuffin. I mean, just...
You do?
Know, why not? Breakfast for dinner. I mean, that sort of... Especially with a really crispy hash brown.
I don't know, man.
Really?
None of that McDonald's food does anything for me.
You know, I try to stay away from processed fast food, even if Louisa doesn't.
Oh, look at you. Look at Monica.
Exactly.
I got real toity up in here. Hoity-toity.
You food snobs here, but it sometimes hits a certain really nostalgic, really taste memory. But for also this episode... we have a little game we like to call Will She Eat It? And we decided to bring in our live play-along version.
Okay.
Which we'll we're going to be calling. Will He Eat It?
Exactly.
Will Pete Zimmerman Eat It?
Yeah, right.
Monica and I often disagree, but for this one egg episode, we decided we had to do the so-called thousand-year-old egg or the century egg, which is a preserved duck egg. And it's preserved in lye, not for 1,000 or 100 years, but... To the point where the white turns like a dark green.
Yeah,
translucent.
That's an egg, huh?
That is. And then the yolk inside turns kind of like this clay-like green. And so I brought it in for you, Justin.
Okay.
And I'm going to offer it to you.
Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. Let's get the break out of the way so I can get myself...
Steeled up. Yeah.
Oiled up and ready for this.
Gut up.
Louisa Chew, Monica Ang in studio with me. Their podcast, Chewing. Both episodes are up at iTunes now. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll find out if he'll eat it.
Yes. Will he?
Download. Stay with us. How come you're always such a fussy young man? Don't want no Captain Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran. Well, don't you know that other kids are starving in Japan? So eat it. Just eat it. Don't wanna argue, I don't wanna debate. Don't wanna hear about what kind of food you hate. Oh, little Weird Al. Beats by Zim, Pete Zimmerman. It's a download. Monica Ang, Louisa Chu are in studio. Louisa Chu, the food writer for Chicago Tribune. Monica Ang, food and health reporter for Chicago Public Media. Their podcast, Chewang.
Chewang. Sounds like Chewing, but Chewang. Spelled like chewing.
Look for Chewing.
It's on iTunes. You can check out the first two episodes. We're talking about a lot of different things, but right now we're on our new segment called Will He Eat It?
Yeah, it's a variation.
Let's talk about, again, set up what we have in front of you here.
So this is a thousand-year-old egg.
A thousand-year-old egg.
So-called thousand-year-old egg.
Our people like to exaggerate.
Right. Well, that's what it's called. I mean, everybody calls it a thousand-year-old egg or a century egg.
Which just means it's turned.
It's preserved duck egg that's been preserved in lye, and the white turns this like kind of almost like a soy sauce color gelatin, but the inside looks like green clay. And maybe it's like a perfect sort of like welcome to spring or St. Patrick's Day coming up. I mean, it's so we're going to offer.
All right.
So it's a
what's
little
the catch? Okay. What's why would it not be good? Just because it's 1,000 years old? Does it smell
just
bad?
It looks really scary, and it's got a kind of particular texture. Why?
There's no odor. Come on.
There is an odor to it.
It doesn't just smell like a hard boiled egg to you. That's what
no.
I think.
It does not smell like
really?
A hard boiled egg.
No.
It smells like
1,000-year-old egg.
Here we go. Ready? Are we ready? Are we taking it? Okay. Here we go.
Justin's putting it in his mouth. I'm taking a big bite. Mm. Yeah, a quarter of the egg. I have it over white steamed rice.
It's all right. It's an egg.
Yeah. Exactly. But don't you think that the white is sort of like a sort of jello texture to it?
Yeah, it's good. It's not bad at all.
Exactly.
It's at first you're like, oh no.
Right.
Like when it hits your mouth, you're like, oh no, this is not going to be good. This is going to be a disaster. I'm going to toss up my food on the air here. But then once you get past that first initial thing, it's like a little bit more gelatin egg.
Exactly. And so historically, this is the way that people were able to preserve eggs when they had...
Right. No refrigerators.
Exactly. And it's classically eaten with a Chinese jukka rice porridge with like lean shredded pork. But yeah, no. So our little game, will she eat it? And will he eat it? Yes,
well,
he
will
did.
She eat it is better than will he eat it, just because it's on your podcast and it's organic.
It's two middle-aged Chinese women daring each other to eat crazy things. And where else are you going to hear a podcast like
that?
Friends.
All right, so what are you guys working on? What's next? That's always my fun part, like, is trying to figure out what you guys are cooking up for future episodes.
Well, waste is a big deal.
Yeah.
Food waste is a huge deal. So I'd really like to go dumpster diving. Mm-mm. And finding what I can bring to Louisa to eat.
Right.
I did
so
find,
gross. Yeah.
I found some, well, no, I mean, because of food waste, I mean, there's some fantastic documentaries. There's something called Just Eat It, speaking of the Weird Al song. And there was a great one called Dive. That look at just the enormous amount of food waste in this country.
Yeah, no, I understand. But it seems like the idea of proving that there's waste by going through the waste
right.
seems to be the wrong way to think about it.
Exactly. You're trying to save the waste by doing it.
But
so it's I don't want this to go in the landfill. I'm going to eat it myself.
I feel like that's already been done, and that's something that isn't really realistic for most
Louise
people.
Louise is always poo-pooing my segment ideas.
No, not at all. I say, Monica, go for it. My big thing is doggy bagging, because it's really funny.
Bags. You know those restaurants where you get 18 courses and these tiny little things? She asks for like 18 doggy bags.
So there's anything left on the plate, you get it?
Pretty much. Don't ask for 18 doggy bags. I will bring my own, because this is something that we can really control. It's the kind of irony is that, you know, people go to like a somewhat nicer restaurant and they're like, oh no, I couldn't possibly doggy bag. Why not? I mean, this is food. You have paid for it. And it's, right. Especially if it's like a farm-to-table restaurant, who wants to throw that away? The person who cooked it doesn't want you to throw it away.
Guys are working in tandem in the way that, like, if you didn't doggy bag, Monica's in the garbage in the
bag.
That's
right, see?
And
so
she'll get it. So it's
all
got your covered.
Well, catch it before. Why wait for it to go into the dumpster? This is something you control. And actually, it's something that you can really encourage. I mean, like, remember, like, back in the day, people were always buying bottled water, and I'm not going to point fingers in the studio.
No, there's a reason we got bottled. We have no water anymore in the studio. Like, we lost our jug.
I did notice that.
Oh, yeah.
So now we have the bottled water, but you're right.
You bring it from home, Justin.
Yeah, one of my friends.
Bathroom? Is there a faucet in the bathroom, maybe?
Or, like, back in the day, people would just be thirsty for a few minutes. God forbid, you know? I mean,
Didn't you do the story on lead? We're in a Tribune Tower. This is an old building. Like, I'm not going to go to the bathroom and be like, fill
up the
jug. You
need to check those water mains. Yeah.
Just so you know, I brought my own zero water filter to have at my cubicle.
And actually,
I'll come up to your cubicle.
There you go.
I'm going to be doing a story. And look, anybody who wants to steal it before I do, did you know that hoses are lined with lead? Did you know that most garden hoses? Hello, am I the only one who drank out of it when I was a kid?
Yeah, right.
No, I didn't know that.
And so I'm going to be taking a look at that. And they sell lead-free hoses. They're like $69. But if you don't
I'll take a little lead for
12
bucks.
Oh, come on. There's no safe level of lead. And then you poured it in your tomatoes.
We had that convo.
Well, maybe for you. But it's what if your son's a little slowed down? No, just don't drink out of the hose or use a water filter. It's okay. But yeah, so, you know, doggy bags, I think, is something that you can really use. And it's we can carry our own.
I love doggy bags. I'm always into that.
So you can have
thing.
Us talk
you
about
know,
the leftover
You know what we
episode.
Should talk about next time you guys come on is my newfound interest in crockpotting.
Oh.
I crockpot every week now.
That's.
I just
I can't wait to hear your recipe.
I did a chicken noodle. The problem I'm having is that they're not my recipes, because all I really do is go chicken noodle crockpot in Google.
Absolutely.
And then it pops up, and then I taste it, and I'm like, all right, well, this is pretty bland. Like, I haven't figured out how to cook yet. I mean, it's one thing to like, and I'm learning. So I'm chopping up all the stuff and I'm doing it and I'm like seasoning to my taste as opposed to it says one, you know, like
no,
the first
important.
Time I did it, I was like, every single teaspoon was
to the exact
thing. And I was like, pepper, putting
right.
it in. So now I'm learning a little bit more about
to be more improvisational.
Seasoning. Yeah, because probably of the eight things that I've made, six of them are like, bland. They're just like, here's all this stuff together.
So you just dump a Campbell's chicken noodle soup can into the crock pot and then you leave it?
I'm a Whole Foods guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but yes, the equivalent.
Well, the crock pot recipe
we have a lot to teach you.
Yeah, probably maybe in the blander palate side. You know, when I did a lot of consulting for companies with new products, crock pots were like the holy grail. Everybody wants the new crock pot or the new George Foreman grill.
Right.
And so those are really convenient. I mean, and so there's a lot of recipes.
I wanted to cook because I wanted to be able to, especially in the winter time, be able to have dinners here.
Because mm-hmm.
if you're on Michigan Avenue, it's like everything is $11 plus for even fast food.
Not a lot of cheap food.
No. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do that. And so it's become this kind of, you know, cathartic thing. It's just this kind of, I like it. I like doing it. It's just, I don't really know what I'm doing.
Oh, but we'll at the same time, so, I did a whole story for the Tribune, pressure cooker versus crock pot. And we had people on both sides. No, but there are people, there are enthusiasts on both sides, and actually can cook similar dishes in there.
You can.
But I had a lot of good crock pot recipes for those.
Well, I'm excited. And the GN faithful have given me a ton of recipes as well.
Oh, there you go.
I almost tried one of them, a Chinese chicken soup.
Huh.
But I then couldn't find it on the text, and so I just went with whatever, chicken marsala again.
We can share one of our old colleague Brian Babylon's crock pot recipes that he shared with us. It was one crazy recipe that he swears is the tastiest thing he's ever. No illegal substances. It just
right.
A lot of different things.
Well, good. Okay. Well, okay. So Louisa Chu, Monica Ng, the podcast Chewing, is on iTunes. Two episodes have dropped already. And what's going to be every 2 weeks?
Every two weeks on Friday afternoons, we're going to be dropping fresh new episodes.
All right. So you guys got to come back. We'll definitely have you on. We'll have regular I like Fridays. We could do Friday night special. We could be the competition to the Hungry Hound.
More about that later.
thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Great to see you guys.
Thanks, Justin.